Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast here to you with you today and with my grandson,
Brandon.
And Brandon, what happened in Branson last night?
We had a couple tornadoes.
Yes, they said multiple.
Hit the town and caused a lot of damage, but none of our families, houses, or anything like that. So,
right.
Praise God.
And we learned how to move in faith. We learned how to move in authority. And with the blood of God, the blood of Jesus. And things are coming, Brandon, on the earth. You live in the last days. That doesn't scare you, does it, to hear me talk? You've been hearing me talk about that forever, haven't you?
Yeah, doesn't scare me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't scare you. Why?
I'm actually looking forward to it because I know I want to go up to heaven. I want to, you know, I'm excited that I get to be a witness of it and see things happen and then, you know, spend our whole eternity up there with everybody else.
And you're just a young guy, and you're thrilled about it. It doesn't scare you at all because you know things about it. Now, we're coming here to the last days, and we're really talking about living in the end of days. And I was doing a program with Gloria the other day, and this kind of came out of her like a word. And it was, it's not okay to fear. It's not okay to fear. You know, some people think, well, just a little healthy fear, that's good for you. No, it's not good for you. Well, what about if you walk across the street and get hit by a Mack truck? Well, you should have, that's not fear. You don't fear. You just don't walk across the street and get hit by a Mack truck. You learn to be wise. But there are two aspects to fear, Brandon. And one of them is fear God. We're told over and over and over to fear God. And that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the treasure of life. And that's not the kind of a fear like you're afraid of a rattlesnake or a storm. It's awe. It's
like
respect.
Like a respectable fear.
That's right. It's like a respect that I think, Brandon, of course, Brother Hagin's already gone on to heaven. But when you were a little person, you knew him. Mm-hmm. Got him to lay hands on you, but you didn't just walk up there in front of him and throw a fit. You respected him, didn't you?
Yes, for sure.
And that's how it is with God. In the presence of God, there's an awe. Well, now at the other end of the spectrum, there is that fear that terrible fear that torments you. That's the fear of things that people fear. And those things usually are of the devil. Now, I'll tell you why that these are closely related. It's because both of them have an aspect of worship. What you fear, you worship. You fear God. You fear thumps in the night. Bumps in the night. If you're so afraid, well, then in your mind, that thing is bigger than God. So you've put it above God. You're worshiping it. God's big, all right, but he's not bigger than my fear of the dark. He's not bigger than my fear of heights, for instance. My fear of storms. Even though we had great storms last night, you weren't afraid in the middle of that storm. You knew what to do. You were prepared. So you're prepared for these days. But
I do have to say that after the storms and seeing all the damage, I kind of have more of a respect of taking our authority and, wow, this is such a powerful tool.
This is real.
And this is, I'm seeing other destructions and everything that's happened to other people, and I'm like, this is real. And I kind of had to repent to God saying, sorry, I didn't take it more serious.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of people that don't take it serious as they should.
Yes, and that's what's happening in the world right now. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. And we are to take it serious, but we are not to be afraid. We're not to be afraid. We're to have peace in him. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. I noticed the words in that torment. And I notice the word cast out. Fear needs to be cast out. If you are controlled by fear, There's a possibility there's a demons attached to it. Well, let's just take 2 Timothy 1:7 for instance. For God hath not given us the
spirit of fear.
Spirit of fear. So that lets us know that there can be a spirit of fear. If you are a person that is just obsessed with fear, then it's probably likely a spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And then Psalm 34:4, listen to this one. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes with fear, there needs to be a deliverance. There needs to be a casting out, especially if it has torment. Now I'm going to give you my testimony, because I had a deliverance from fear. And another thing, it says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. If you give place to fear in your life, you can be giving place to the devil, because he torments you. And I have experienced that torment. When I was a little girl, I grew up, I lived at this time in Coweta, Oklahoma. It's just a little town, and it was a country town then, about 10 miles south of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Broken Arrow's quite near Tulsa. And my mother, my father, wonderful mother, wonderful father, I went to church all the time, and I had a little sister, 2 years and 8 months younger than I, and we lived right next door to this lady I'll call Mrs. T. And she was a wonderful lady. She and her husband were older, and she was a piano teacher. And she took me, my sister and I loved to go to her house. And she took us over there, and she taught me to play the piano. And when I was 5 years old and I could play with both hands, she called my mother over and surprised her to listen. And I remember I played dun, 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 from John Williams' red little book, Teaching Little Fingers to Play. And it was the two-handed song, you know. Oh, my goodness. I just loved Mrs. T. We'd go over and we'd just help her with, like, she would be stringing green beans or cutting them up. And she and Mr. T, they loved us. They didn't have any grandchildren. And, but Mrs. T had a fear. Now, she lived in Oklahoma. We lived in Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley. And to Oklahoma is, we had a tornado in Branson last night, but this is hilly country. You can't always see. In Oklahoma, you can see those tornadoes. You can see them up in that sky. You can see their little tails coming down. And Mrs. T would always say, no matter what it was like, no matter what the cloud was like, Mrs. T would say, that's the kind of a cloud you have to watch. And they had one of those old-fashioned storm cellars outside their house. So if any kind of a cloud would come in the sky, she went to every day. If I can remember, in summer days, we'd be there, spring days, every day. Oh, we got to go to the cellar. Well, she'd want everybody to go to the cellar with her. She'd want Mr. T to go with her. She'd want my mother, my father, but they wouldn't go. They knew that that wasn't a really bad situation. But we would go down there. We'd sit in that dark cellar, and there was a lantern that would hang up at the top, and it'd kind of sway back and forth. And we'd hear the wind blowing. There was kind of a pipe that went up. You could hear the wind blowing. And she'd say, one of these days, we're going to go up there. And Mr. T and your father and your mother are going to be blown away because they wouldn't come down here in this cellar with us. Well, I'd sit down there in that cellar, and I'd be scared that maybe Mom and Daddy had blown away while we were down there. Oh, why wouldn't they come? I'd just almost cry. And we'd go up, you know, and of course they hadn't blown away. But this fear entered into me. It entered into my being. I entertained it down there, and it became a spirit of fear. It grew. It magnified. And it went from storms, I was so afraid of storms, to everything. And I remember I would go to bed at night, and I thought at nighttime that whatever was covered up in me was safe. So I would take the covers and work them all around my head. I would make sure my head and hair was all covered. And of course, you have to breathe. So I make myself a little hole in my nose there. And then it moved over to car wrecks. I became very frightened that people were going to die in car wrecks. And we did a lot of camping out, you know. And so I would go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and we'd go to the lake maybe a day early, and Mother and Daddy were supposed to come the next day. They were supposed to be there at 3 o'clock. Well, they didn't come at 3 o'clock. Oh, I was so worried. Fear would take me over. I became worried that they had been killed in a car wreck. Maybe they didn't come to 4 or 5, and maybe 6, 7. Oh, man, I was just so fearful. Now, my mother said she didn't know this was happening to me. Because fear, I didn't let this show. I kept it hidden. And I did a lot of singing and playing the piano and public speaking. And no fear ever came in any of that realm. But it was in this realm particularly of car wrecks. I remember one time when Mom and Daddy didn't come home. We lived in Broken Arrow at this time. And they had a grocery store. And they were supposed to close that store at 6 o'clock at night. And my sister and I were at home. We lived on 6 or 8 blocks from the grocery store. Broken Arrow only had one stop sign at that time. And a stop light, traffic light. And I was a sophomore in high school. Sophomore in high school. And they didn't come home at 6. They didn't come home at 7. They didn't come home at 8. Oh, I was panicking. I called my grandmother. She lived in the town. Do you know where Mom and Daddy are? No, we don't know. She didn't know. I remember falling in that floor, crying and screaming and telling my little sister, they're dead, they're dead. I just know they're dead. They got killed at the traffic light. I mean, you'd have to be doing something to get killed at the traffic light in that town in those days with 3,500 people. But they finally came home. Now, then I got married. I married to my husband, Kent Brim. And we moved to Illinois. And I remember one day there came that rumble of a thunder. And my stomach just turned upside down with fear and knotted up. And little Shelley and Terry were there. Shelley was 3 and Terry was 2. And they began crying, and I heard. Now, I didn't know anything about deliverance, but I heard, if you don't stop this, your children are going to be just like you. And I saw how terrible it would be to be just like me. So I put my hands up in the air. I fell across my white bedspread, and I said, dear God, help me. And at that time, a shadowy thing flew out of my belly, it seemed like, and flew out the wall. And I was ever after delivered of fear. Now, this was just after I had done this terrible trick. When Kit came home from, he didn't come home from work one day. We just lived about a block or two from where he worked. I called out the highway patrol. I called out his boss. When he came in, he'd stop to get a haircut. And they didn't have cell phones in those days. I know, and he was mortified when he saw that I'd had the highway patrol there. But you can see that I got that deliverance, and ever after that, I'm free. Now God takes me to some of the most dangerous places on the whole earth. But I can tell you, Brandon, if I hadn't have gotten free, if I hadn't have gotten delivered, my children would have hated me. Your mother would have hated me. I never would have let her drive a car. Never let your Uncle Terry, Aunt Shelley, nobody. I would have been in my house a recluse. It's not okay to fear. You have to conquer and get over fear. This is Billy Brim saying to you, peace. Shalom. Until tomorrow, no fear here.